Welcome, everybody, to WFHR's Playmakers. For this October 3rd, 2022, 10:05 on the clock, got your host James J here. I am joined by Seth Havager. Good morning, Seth.
Good morning, everyone.
We hope you're having a good one out there. Want to send a big shout out to our friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out. Quality Plus Printing, our sponsor for the show.
Mm-hmm.
Big thank you to them. Go there for all your printing needs.
Yeah.
We got a ton to talk about today. A big weekend in football, college, and pros. Some heads rolled over the weekend.
Wow, some big heads. Wow.
Yeah, so we got to talk about that. We had huge weekend in high school football. Mm-hmm. We have to touch on. I really wanted to start our show there, actually, Seth.
All right, sounds good.
And, of course, we got to talk to all of you. Anything that's on your sports mind, give it to us, everybody. Mm-hmm. 424-2600, call up and bring your conversation to the show. I did want to remind the audience that if Seth and I are talking on one subject, and you want to talk about something else, call up and we'll talk about it.
That's fine. Yeah.
One of our listeners that apparently listens to us a lot, but she was like, yeah, I wanted to call in, but you guys weren't talking about what I wanted to talk about. And I'm like, that's okay.
Yeah.
You just call up and we'll flip the script. Like, I mean, it's your show.
We can switch gears quicker than you can blink an eye.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, we know, especially this time of year, it's so busy with so many different sports going on. There's plenty to talk about. Sometimes things get slipped through the cracks on us.
That
we just don't have the people to be able to cover or something like that. And that's why we're starting our story where we've never started our show before.
Right.
And the history of doing our sports show here, whether it was Coffee and Sports or Playmakers, we've never gotten to start with fishing.
Fishing.
And Seth, it is a competitive world, the fishing game.
It is.
If you know anything about it, you know that people take these tournaments incredibly seriously.
They do.
Dedicate a lot of time, money, effort to it, traveling to different cities and states to be able to be a part of these competitions. And over the weekend, humongous, maybe the biggest cheating scandal in fishing tournament history.
Oh my
gosh. For those that didn't see the video of this, I encourage you to Google it. It is a laugh you deserve. So apparently this guy who is kind of not, I wouldn't say world famous, but he's been winning for a long time.
Okay.
He has been cheating by putting weights in his fish.
Oh, no.
And they caught him. And so there's there's a video going viral right now of like the biggest can caught in the cooking jar moment I've ever seen.
Oh my goodness.
Where they're doing this, they're checking every one of his, because it happens just accidentally, a weight falls out of one of the fish.
Oh no.
And they're like, well, that ain't, like, is that a, you know, looking to see if it was it a lure to be,
yeah, or a sinker or something.
A sinker, something like that. And like, wait a minute, no, that ain't a sinker. And all of a sudden they look in at the next fish and there's weights in that. And then another one, and then another one. He put a fillet of fish in one of them to try to weight the fish down. I don't know if fish can haunt us, but if the ghosts of fish can haunt anybody, this guy is going to be haunted.
He is doomed. Doomed for fish
the
ghosts.
Video is hilarious because every time they show him, he's just sitting there with his head down, just like looking ahead, and all you hear are the people around him. Come on, man. Like, oh, man. We can't play the video because we're a family show.
Yeah, right. So some of the language gets a little rough, but yeah.
Jason Fisher, director of the Lake Erie Walleye Trail
Tournament.
What a
great name.
Such perfect, yeah. Told CNN he was immediately suspicious when one team's fish weighed almost twice what he expected at the Cleveland Championship weigh-in.
Yeah, yeah.
And apparently this guy's been doing this at a lot of, well, they think he's been doing, they don't know.
They don't have proof, except for this now, right.
The walleye in the bucket looked like they should each weigh about around 4 pounds, mm-hmm. but the total weight indicated that they had at least 7 to 8 pounds these walleyes were weighing, and they didn't look that much fatter or anything.
Yeah.
This is also one of the laziest cheating things I've ever heard of in my life.
If you're going to cheat, put some effort into it. Come on. Just a little.
I would say that one of the more bigger cheating scandals in the last 10, 20 years, if not in the history of sports, is what happened with the Houston Astros just a little while ago.
Right.
With the stealing of signs and all this stuff and everything. Think about all that they assumedly did to, like, they, one guy's got like a little like a buzzer on under his jersey to let him know and the tap thing, and like there are all these different things that baseball players have been doing since the dawn of baseball to learn how to
let's cheat. Be honest
well finding ways to cheat but finding ways to cheat without like it, like actually some of the most creative stuff in sports. I'm not saying it's a good thing, but the way that a Gaylord Perry would hide like gel on his elbow or something like that. Like, I mean, you gotta kind of give credit where it's due sometimes.
Yeah, right.
I hate cheating. I'm not in favor of any kind of cheating at all.
No.
But at the same time, I am a creative, and I kind of admire like some of these choices.
You have to give a little bit of credit, at least for ingenuity, if nothing else. Right. Right.
Yeah. You're still cheating.
You're still cheating. You're out of there. Yeah.
You know, you're out of this game.
Yeah.
But I credit where it's due. This is the opposite of that. Fisher hosts, the guy who caught this other person, Fisher hosts around 8 tournaments over the course of a year, drawing competitors from Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and here in Wisconsin.
Hmm.
So this does have a local tie-in.
It does.
This guy in tournaments in Wisconsin has cheated as well. So this has rocked that whole tournament industry, that whole fishing industry, really. Right. Not the whole industry, I should say. This tournament, these particular tournaments,
yes. And you know, if you're wondering, well, what is this? What's the big deal? It's fishing tournaments. These guys make some good money.
They make some darn
when
good money.
When you win these tournaments, have you ever seen, like, if you watch a sports, you know, like a replay of one of these things, look at the sponsorships.
Yeah.
They're everywhere. They're all over everything. There's a lot of money in this. So, yeah, that's why he's doing it. He wants to win some money. And, probably should have tried a little harder there. Just a little harder.
Yeah. Jacob Runyon, one member of the two-person team who allegedly cheated, stood by silently watching in one video. You could hear people chanting, we got weights in the fish, the crowd lobbing insults, and one person in particular saying, you just lost everything. Just over and over. This is over. You're done. You're done. And to Seth's point, like even like they make some decent money at this too. And there's some people that do it professionally, especially once you get sponsors and everything. Mm-hmm. But it's so much more than that. Yeah. Everybody who's ever picked up a pole will tell you that it's a passion. It's a so much. I should say for the majority of us, what I enjoy about fishing is being there with my friends and being out on the body of water and just the silence, the peace, the meditation of it.
Yeah, exactly.
There's very few fish I've ever caught that I've kept. I usually throw them back. Mm-hmm. If I'm eating, you know, then it's one thing. But usually it's throwing them back. Mm-hmm. I have no interest in putting a fish on my wall or any of this stuff. But it's so much more than that. And this guy, like, just done. Just not only so, like, he's not only done, but think about what he just did to the industry. An industry that is a tournament, one of the few tournaments in the world that still goes on with some kind of like gentlemanly agreement kind of thing, like where, you know, hey, we all know we're going to be on the up and up here and everything.
Yeah, right.
You know, we're all going to treat this with class and stuff. This guy ruined all that.
Yeah.
Every fishing tournament going forward now is going to be that much longer and that much more, you know, questioned because of this.
They're going to be checking every single fish now because of that. Yep.
Now, I'm using this, and it is a bit of a reach, mind you, but certainly from between the last time we did Playmakers and now, Aaron Judd has hit his 61st home run, tying Roger Maris's all-time record and everything. And one of the funny things that's happened during this run of his that he's had is hearing the argument going on. Is this, you know, what's the all-time record for most home runs in a season? We know statistically what it is on paper, and most of us also know that there is an asterisk next to that number.
Right.
And so every home run chase going forward has this cloud over it.
Yes.
And I kind of thought I think naively that this one might be a little different. That, before the All-Star break, the pace's on and the conversations that were being had, well, I don't hear anybody talking steroids. I don't hear anybody of that or anything.
Right.
But even with that being said, there's still a cloud over it. There's still some people out there that are not 100% on this and going forward. So just to what it's done to baseball and some of our bigger sports, it's definitely now it's even trickled into, you know, tournament fishing.
Yes. I mean, just it's amazing. Yeah, I mean, oh, gosh.
It's weird.
Whew. It is kind of weird. What's next, huh?
Yeah.
The National Tiddlywinks Association. Are we going to have a scandal there now?
People cheating at top. Like the spinning game where you're spinning the top and everything. People cheating at that probably.
It's got too sharp a point on it. Is what it is. Kind of thing.
Just, it's sad. It is really sad.
It is sad.
I hope that the tournament still goes on in popularity and you know, getting even more attendance. I'll say this. They just got a lot of, we're not the only sports show talking about this today.
Right.
They're getting a lot of PR. A lot lot of publicity from it. Maybe that helps. Maybe that'll help even things out a little bit.
Yeah, especially since they caught the guy and they're, like, I'm guessing, trying to rectify the situation now. And maybe that will be good for them. Yeah.
Oh, that guy is going to be spending the next 10 years of his life in courts, in small claims courts and different things like that. Yes. There are already people yelling, you took this from me, you cost me this amount of money, that kind of thing in that video.
Yep.
Can't imagine what that's going to go. 424-2600 is a phone number. Call up and join us with your sports thoughts and feelings. We want to talk to you. Seth and James here with you. Thanks to Quality Plus Printing. Getting your words out. We got to dive onto this one next, everybody. Because over the weekend, for those that are not here, Wisconsin lost to Illinois, a game you heard right here on our station.
That's right.
Now, if you listened to our interview with Matt LePay, I don't think it would have been a huge shock to people out there. Illinois has its—I mean, not a great team, mind you, but a very similar team to Wisconsin, and they like to control the ball. They have the leading rusher in all of college football right now, in Chase Brown in Illinois,
which is really good. Yep,
going to help you hang on to that ball a little bit
longer.
That's
right.
So I think most of us expected it to be a game, but it kind of wasn't. Illinois kind of handled it pretty perfectly.
They did.
And then, for me, the biggest eyesore on the game was the second half. When I saw the same Wisconsin like energy that I did in the first half and the second half. A team that's down, a team that's supposed to win that game, a team playing at home, shouldn't come out the second half light. Ever.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're down by 70 or you're up by 70.
Yeah.
It's college football. Energy is the game. Like, you got to come out there ready to go. If they don't, it's usually the sign that the coach has lost the locker room.
Okay.
And so this is interesting that after that game, shortly after that game, it was announced that Paul Christ has been fired by the University of Wisconsin.
Right. Right. I hate to, you know, take too much away from Illinois because they played an excellent game.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
really did. I mean, their defense in the second half was really good. But your point is well taken. This is not the first time it's been discussed this year about the energy of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
During the game against, they lost to, I can't remember the name, to Washington State.
Yeah.
That was the first thing that came up. They had players, you know, taking their own teammates to task for that. They said, we did not have the energy. And it looks like it happened again.
We're going to take a phone call here. We'll get into more of this conversation in just a moment. First, welcome to Playmakers. What's on your mind?
Hey, morning, James.
Hey, good morning, sir. How are you?
Morning, Gary.
Hey, how about that game yesterday morning? At last, minute field goal.
Yeah, yeah. Boy.
It hit the upright, dead across bar, and then the ground.
You know, Gary, I'm glad you brought this up, too. I didn't know if we'd have a chance to talk about that game, you know. There's something happening for Minnesota right now that I know this happened to my Bears some years back. Mm-hmm. I've seen it happen to other teams where there's those years where nothing goes your way and the ball just falls the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, it's starting to look like that one of those years for Minnesota where things just kind of fall in line and they have things go their way. I'm not saying that means that they're going to go on some huge playoff run, but it does. Like, if you're a Minnesota fan, you've got some things to be really like kind of excited about there.
Scratching, head scratching too.
Oh yeah, yeah. Definitely.
What? Wait, why is it going the right way?
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's an interesting game though, huh, Gare?
Yeah, I like that big crowd there in London.
Oh, they're really filling those stadiums up
really
more and more.
Yeah.
The game has gotten so much bigger. I remember some of those early games at like Wembley Stadium or anything, and there's like five people there.
Yeah.
Now that's a whole different ball game now. The NFL has gotten world popular.
He said Green Bay is leaving Thursday morning for London.
Yeah, that's
right. They're next.
Yeah, they're next. That should be an interesting one. Always good to talk to you, sir. Have a good day.
Yeah, you guys too.
Thanks for the call, Gary. Appreciate it. So with the Wisconsin changeover, I think there's a couple of things to touch on here. Mm-hmm. Overall, Chris' tenure was a winning one. He was 67-26, including wins in the Cotton and Orange Bowls. Never had a losing record. Certainly a native of the state.
Very much so, yes.
However, Wisconsin was 15-10 since 2020, and the first five games this season were 2-3, including a 17-14 loss to Washington State Cougars, as Seth was talking about there before.
Mm-hmm.
And there's two things. There's two other parts of this because I don't think that anybody's going to come on the air here and say that Paul Chris is a jerk. Like nobody's saying that. He's one of the most likable people and coaches in the game. He's going to get another gig.
Yep.
He'll coach again. Nobody should feel sorry. He made millions of dollars doing this and everything.
Yeah.
One thing that is, there's two things that are important that you got to remember, that you got to know about college football if you don't right now. You saw heads roll already this year. In Nebraska, Scott Frost is gone. Yep. Arizona State, Herm Edwards is gone. It is so hard to get a good coach nowadays. It's always been, but mm-hmm. now especially because I'm already behind Arizona State and Nebraska on my coaching search. So now I need to get up on that. Then you add on the factor of the recruiting factor. Mm. All the kids that committed to Paul Christ, because look, there's a lot of kids that will commit to Wisconsin, or we're just going to use Wisconsin as an example, but it could be any college station, any college we're talking about. There's going to be kids that I've spent my whole life wanting to play for UW. I'm a Wisconsin native. That's the school I want to go to. No other offers are accepted. Just let me get into UW. Then there are the kids that, out of state especially, I never really thought about playing Wisconsin. I met Coach Christ. He really sold me on this offense. He really sold me on this defense, et cetera, et cetera. I'm committing to Coach Christ. Mm-hmm. I'm not really committing to the state, to the university. I'm committing to that coach.
Yep.
So now you've got that influx of reaching out to these recruits and trying to keep those commitments in place, or which ones are leaving.
Yep.
So I have to, okay, I thought I had my four-star tight end coming in. Now he's gone. So now I got to look at recruiting a tight end again.
Yep.
There's that factor on top of this. The coaching recruiting of bringing in a good coaching candidate. Mm-hmm. I've got to get an early jump on that because, again, Arizona State, Nebraska, they've already got to jump on this one. And then there is the class to the current coach of giving him a chance to go ahead and find his way out,
right,
and, you know, reach other people and everything. There's so many. Like, I think that there's a lot of old school people, including myself, that would be like, man, that is unclassy to fire a coach in the middle of the season. At least let him finish the season.
Yeah.
You can't do it anymore. You may want to do that. You just can't. You can't afford to waste the time anymore. If you know he's a dead duck, you got to get him out of there.
Yeah.
And you got to start the process right now. And the biggest factor here, Seth, and I'm sorry to monologue on you.
Yeah, that's good.
The biggest factor here to me in all of this, outside of the recruiting end, you have one of the most sought-after coaches in all of sports, not just college and NFL, sitting right there at your defensive coordinator position, and Jim Leonard. Mm-hmm. Every season in the last 4 or 5 years, it's, is this the year we lose Jim Leonard? Is he going to take the head coaching job here or there? Why wait? Get him in your spot. See if you can have him stay in your and just stay and coach your team. Hey, maybe Jim Leonard is a good head coach. Let's find out. Let's give him an opportunity while we're in the middle of this. We already know it's not a season we're going to make to college football playoffs. Let's see what we got in house here.
You know, and that's, to me, is how you salvage a season like this. Because the first question was, in my mind, was, well, is this a busted season now? Mm-hmm. Is that what this means? If they're willing to, you know, let go and try to do a big changeover in the middle of the season. And which in college used to not happen hardly at all.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, this year is big. I mean, I saw a headline. So there have been five college coaches fired. At this point, no NFL coaches, which is, wow, that's
wild.
Weird. Isn't that
so
wild?
So wild.
But I'm with you on this one. If you've got someone there that you think, you know, give it a try. See what happens, if nothing else. Season's done and it doesn't work out, well, we'll get someone else for next year. We'll get started, the process started when the season is done. So I guess in that sense, there's an opportunity here to check that out and see how it would work. At the same time, I mean, I don't know what's going on with the players. I mean, they probably are bewildered and you know, at this point, what do we do? What do we do? But I guess we'll see how they handle it coming up next week.
It's the thing, the fan base and the players are the things I feel the most for.
Exactly.
Because I like Paul Christ. I wish him well, but I'm not worried about him. He's a good coach. He'll get a job. He'll be okay. The fan base is where your concern goes to, and those kids, because of all this influx. It's one thing when it happens in the NFL. These are played professionals. You got a job to do.
Yes.
Whoever is got the head coaching headset on, do your job.
Mm-hmm.
They're just kids. They're still just kids here. There's a couple of things that are interesting, especially with this, because we're not the only ones that noticed the lack of energy in the locker room and these kids just not seeming prepared the last couple of years under Coach Christ. He had a great run here, though, too.
It's
important to keep in mind. He was 67-26, 43-18 in the Big Ten. He won three Big West titles, two New Year's Bowl games. He was two-time Big Ten Coach of the Year. Just it happens, you know. Let's go ahead and take a caller. Good morning. You're on the show.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
What's on your mind today?
I would have to, I mean, I'm kind of glad we're talking about this a little bit with Coach Chris. I mean, yeah, he was a good guy, very likable guy. I mean, if you look up or listen to what McIntosh was saying about him, you know, you could tell it was a tough decision on his part, the way he was in the interview when they were announcing Jim Leonard as the interim. It was, obviously it's a tough decision, but you kind of almost wonder if this was kind of been in the works, you know, ever since that, maybe that Washington State game, kind of on how things kind of ended last season, they were going to give him a chance, right to ship this year. You know, yeah, they had a tough schedule. I mean, Washington State really wasn't they've given some games. I mean, they just gave Oregon a game of their life over the weekend.
Yeah.
Or last weekend, or where it was. But, I mean, it's tough. But with Jim Leonard, you know, being the interim, we'll see where that goes. You kind of wonder if maybe this was kind of in the works, maybe for the end of the season, that Chris was going to step away, you know, from the program and, you know, let Jim take over the program.
It's the number one headline on ESPN right now.
It is, yeah.
And I don't remember the last time I've seen anything like that with a coach firing being that. It's certainly not just noteworthy here in the state here, but even because nobody, even Scott Frost knew that Scott Frost was gone. he knew, you know. And the Herm Edwards situation, that was an interesting one because it looks like it was a little bit of cannibalism. Like inside, like his own coaching staff was like trying to get him fired and things. So that's a whole other conversation. This is different, and it's noteworthy in one because Wisconsin doesn't do this. They don't fire their coach in the middle of a season. He was such a well-respected and liked guy, not only here in the state, but just in college football in general. Going back to his Pitt days, like people just like Paul Chris. They like him being around. They like his energy, his attitude, all that. Again, part of the reason why I'm not worried about him, he'll find a good job. But it's just a little surprising. I don't think that it's so much surprising as it is kind of like as the caller, you're talking about caller and everything. We knew it was happening. I think that it's still kind of like a little bit of surprising that it just, that it happened, even though we kind of knew it was going to happen.
Yeah.
Right. You know, and you know, the, now the big thing is, you know, if you read into it a little bit now, the amount of money the university starts to pay them.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a pretty good sized number. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, it is the new game now where you have to worry about those things when you're hanging on to it. They wanted Scott Frost. If they had hung on to Scott Frost, I believe 48 hours more or a week, it may have been a week, one or the other, 7 days or 48 hours. If they hang on to him for just that amount of time, they don't owe him another $7 million. They wanted him gone that bad. You realize how badly you want somebody out of the room that you're willing to give them $7 million like for nothing? Like it tells you. So these universities, for one, the majority of them are printing money. Almost all of them.
The big ones,
The big ones are. Now, I'm not talking necessarily a lot of these ones that are smaller, and certainly not Mac schools or anything.
Yeah, right.
But even a university like an Arizona State or something like that, printing money. They have to be smart with it, though. and just throwing a ton of money at a next coach, like, unless it's somebody that you really believe in, you can't take these chances like you used to either. Mm-mm. There's too much money at stake. There's too much at stake in general.
There's something else I just kind of popped in my head a little bit. You know, this might have been in the works in a while, but after that game against Illinois, or even after the game against Ohio State, what do you think the boosters were doing?
Right, exactly. Yeah. Yes, yes. It's like that at every university. I hear, because of my mom's connections to Northwestern, I hear this even with Northwestern football. They're doing this.
It doesn't matter.
All sports, you know. Yeah. It doesn't matter. You're right. It's interesting.
Yeah, you know, so you kind of wonder, you know, if you know, at the end of the season, if Northwestern's going to have a better season, is Fitzgerald going? I mean, he's a great coach.
That one is a little different. That's a little different. For one, the expectations at Northwestern when it comes to sports outside of maybe women's lacrosse is pretty low. And you're just thankful that you have what you have. And that's not even being mean. That's the truth. They know that in the building. They know that on Ryan Field. And the connection that Coach Fitzgerald has with that university.
Right.
I have a hard time believing that he, I would even bet $5 on it, and I don't bet on nothing, that the only way Coach Fitzgerald leaves Northwestern is if he wants to.
Yep.
If he wants to leave, that's one thing. They would have to have a god-awful run, not even just one bad season. They'd have to have a good 4 or 5 year stretch, I think, before they would say something. Again, all the factors I said before are certainly noteworthy. And you could say, well, Coach Chris was an alum, and he's a Wisconsin native and all this. It's different. The expectations at Wisconsin are not even close to the expectations at Northwestern.
No.
They know who they are. They understand that. With that being said, I think that there's, you know, Fitz has got his job as long as he wants. What do I know, though? You know, I mean, it's not as if I'm, you know, in the board meetings or anything.
That's
like
right,
that.
Yeah.
It's like, you know. Always appreciate the call, sir. Good to talk to you.
All right, guys. Have a great week.
You too.
You too.
And as we're wrapping this kind of conversation up, and going into the break, where when we come back, we're going to talk some high school sports, want to talk a little River Kings, touch on those. I do think that this is the time now, especially once the dust is settling, now is a chance to be excited, Wisconsin. Get excited. Support Jim Leonard.
Yeah.
This is one of your guys.
Mm-hmm.
All the things we said about Coach Chris when he took the job over, it's just repeat
basically
that stuff.
The same, right?
Yeah. It's an exciting thing. I think that you have one of the – I know you have one of the most sought-after assistant coaches in college sports. Let's see what he's made of.
Yeah.
Let's see how this goes. He's a likable guy.
Yeah.
I think this is going to be it just turned a season that could have been, you know, a grind into, well, hey, let's see what we got here. Let's see how this happens.
Changes the whole dynamic, I think.
We got a caller coming in before our break. Let's take it. Good morning. You're on the show.
Yes, I still believe they have a chance. I'm talking my Brewers, of course. Even though they got to win all three, but they have their three best pitchers going. And Houston rested their guys over the weekend, and all their best. Dusty says he's going to play all their best players these next three games. So I know it's got to win them all, and they got to lose them all, but that's okay.
From what I'm reading, the Brewers have the most favorable schedule, too, of the teams left, as far as trying to make a playoff run.
Yep.
Yeah, Philly had about 10 road games, and the Philly of Philadelphia is under a lot of stress right now, a lot of things going on there.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But anyways, I want to talk a little bit more about the Josh Hader trade. That was the worst thing that David Stearns ever did.
Mm.
It took the heart right out of the Brewers. They lost their will to play.
Mm-hmm.
And Josh isn't doing very good in San Diego, and Rogers isn't doing very good here. Josh was a very popular player and liked by all of his teammates.
Mm-hmm. You know, how do you walk the balance as a GM? Because I don't disagree with you, sir, but how you walk that line of, you know, he's not going to re-sign.
Yeah.
You know, this is your last chance to get something for nothing, basically, out of him, because otherwise you're getting nothing out of him. And this is a front office that has this albatross of the Christian Yelich contract hanging over them.
Right now.
So many of the moves they're doing are trying to counter that big move, too.
Yeah.
I don't disagree with you at all. And I think that you can make the argument that it would have been worth hanging on to him, even if you don't get anything from him off the offseason. But
to make maybe a playoff run,
One more year after this year. You got one more year with him. You would have had anyway, so...
That would have been a contract year.
Nowadays
in baseball, they get rid of these guys the year before the contract.
Yeah, or even 2 years.
It's hard to disagree with what you're saying. It's hard to argue what you're saying.
It really is,
especially if you're Josh Hader.
Yeah, exactly.
This has not gone well if you're
really
Josh Hader.
Josh. Yeah, I'm sure it did. That really hurt him. And now he's 3,000 miles away from his family.
Mm-hmm.
His family's on the East Coast, and he's way out in the southern part of the West Coast.
Yeah.
So.
And these are paid professionals making millions of dollars.
Yeah, we get it.
So, but they're also human beings.
Yeah.
They're also.
Right, yeah.
And that's noteworthy, too, I think.
Yeah.
Hey, always good to talk to you, sir.
It was best friends with Colbert, Carver, and Burns.
Oh, right,
all that stuff.
Yeah.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. Good to talk to you. We'll talk again real soon. Thanks for the call. And got to talk a little baseball there. That's
great. Let's throw that in there. Yeah.
I actually, if it wasn't so darn busy, I'd love to do a deep dive on the 2023 baseball season.
Right.
I was telling Buddy this weekend, Seth, I don't know the last time I was more excited about a baseball season than next year, just because of the rule changes.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating. Absolutely fascinating.
The pitch clock is one thing. What I see, they say pitch clock, I see stolen base. And as you know, that's one of my favorite things in sports is stolen base. Seeing that maybe come back.
They did a poll. People want to see more than home runs. Yeah. Right now, people want to see stolen bases. It's one of the most exciting things in baseball.
Them getting rid of the shift, I think, is I think there's a real great conversation to have here with this.
There is, yeah.
Because this is, while I think it's a good rule, if I'm a baseball player and if I'm a fan of baseball, this saddens me in one way, because I feel like baseball should have been able to correct it itself. It shouldn't have needed the rule. If Tony Gwynn is walking up and everybody is set up to the left, what is Tony Gwynn going to do? Yep. Hit it to the right. Yeah. I'm a professional hitter. That's what I do. I hit where the guys aren't at.
Yep.
The fact that the shift worked and that they needed a rule to change it, that to me is alarming when it comes to baseball.
Right.
And that the hitters nowadays can't counter that themselves. That's a little scary to me.
To me, that's exactly the reason why I was very, you know, I wasn't a big, huge fan of the shift. I'm not saying I was, but at the same time, every time they've done this, you know, there's been a new strategy or something like that, they've come up with a counter to it on the field.
It corrected itself.
And the players, it's just, and I think this is because the incentives are not there to do it. Mm. You're taught now launch angle is everything. Exit velocity is everything. Yeah. You need to hit the ball out of the ballpark. And that's what happened.
Yeah.
And now the shift is there and they're not changing their swings. And then, boom, you have a new rule.
You're gonna hear the first 2 months of the, if not the whole season, every starting pitcher whining, just complaining about this and hating it. But
they didn't like it when it first came out. But you're right. Now they're gonna complain. It's not there anymore.
It'll be the number one talking point from every starting pitcher. I don't care if that guy throws a perfect game. He's gonna be up there. The first thing he's gonna complain about is a pitch clock.
Yep.
Pitchers hate a change, and even a slight change in their routine. But as fans, I think this is going to be exciting.
I think it is, too.
We'll take a break here. We'll come back and talk some River Kings. We'll talk some high school sports and plenty more, and we'll talk to all of you. When we come back with Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here at WFHR. Welcome back to Playmakers, everybody. Brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out. WFHR, live and direct, Seth and James here with you. Feel free to call up and join the conversation, 424-2600. Bring us your sports thoughts and feelings. We know you got them. Why keep them to yourself? Share them with the rest of the class.
Share them with everybody. Come on now.
We're going to talk a little River Kings in a moment, but Seth, I am proud of myself. I have not, I didn't spend our morning show just talking about this. I didn't start our show just talking about this. All I wanted to do since Friday night is talk about this, and I waited. I held on and I Very waited good. This long. I think I did pretty good.
Good
but
display
now
of
it's
patience.
Time. Roll Raiders. Roll Raiders! Wisconsin Rapids, Lincoln Red Raiders, victorious over the, at the time, undefeated Marshfield Tigers.
What a game. Wow.
I told you, I warned you all, this could be the game of the year, and it looks like it might be.
Did not disappoint.
Lincoln 24, Marshfield 21. Congratulations to everybody involved, because it's just a good game. Like, in Marshfield, no reason to have your head down if you're a Marshfield Tiger. Everything you could have asked for out of that game, you got.
Mm-hmm.
Nicely done. Just nicely done
Fabulous.
By everybody involved in that one. A couple of things that were stood out to me as far as that one. That not only the collision that happened there at Len Ludecky Field here in Rapids, but Marshfield struck first, and usually that is a good sign for Marshfield. That's usually how they keep going undefeated here, is by being the first ones to strike blood and stuff. Ryan Donovan, a TD that did this, Leo Dombrowski with a nice touchdown as well, 11 seconds left. So this there's about 11 seconds on the clock. Teal Lucas has this beautifully placed ball to set them up for the game-winning field goal.
Mm-hmm.
And the ice water in that young man's veins. And then you see the field goal, and it's not an NFL kick. It's not. It's a straight dagger. That ball just shoots through. Just shoot. Like, he had it. Like, he had it for sure.
Oh, yeah.
But there's no arc to it or anything. It's just, it's like it was willed and jammed through the uprights. So afterwards, I saw on Channel 9 that night that they were interviewing some of the players. Mm-hmm. And they interview Teal, and he's a good kid. This guy, mm-hmm. I don't know, he seems like a great kid, and I'm really, really enjoying watching him play this season. And I'm sorry, I apologize, everybody. I had it in my notes, and I cannot find it now, but the kid who made the game-winning field goal,
yep.
They interview him, and he looks like a linebacker. Like, he looks like a linebacker. Like, he looks like I've never seen a kicker look like that before.
He's a throwback to the old kickers back in the day. Yeah.
So it made perfect sense. Why? Like, I would not be surprised if he yelled at the ball and it went through the upright.
I scared it.
Yeah. Yeah. Great game. Nicely done by Coach Biolo and that coaching staff. Homecoming this week versus Appleton. Mm. That's going to be a big one for mm-hmm. Lincoln as they continue. And how does Marshfield rebound from this? What are they going to be? Because they're still got a great team over there.
Oh, yeah. They're not going anywhere.
This is going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a really cool way to see that this high school season continue up, this high school football season.
Yeah,
we've got a lot of competitive teams in our mm-hmm. area.
Yes, we do.
This past Friday in boys varsity football, Assumption Royals 58, Loyal Greyhounds 12.
My gosh, they are destroying everyone in their path right now. My goodness.
Port Edwards with a big one as well. Port Edwards 44 over the Tri-County Penguins 6.
Wow.
Nacoosa kind of had this happen to them over the weekend as Nacoosa yeah. lost to Amherst 38-0. And just to kind of wrap it up a little bit, Edgar defeating Pittsville 28-8.
Okay.
So looking ahead at the next set of games coming up, let me see here. Just wanted to get that for you really quick. Assumption taking on Webster this Friday. Appleton West is going to, as I mentioned, going to be here here in Rapids mm-hmm. for Lincoln's homecoming. And Nacoosa is taking on Shiocton in Nacoosa.
Okay.
So all good games there. We'll let you know more of our schedule here as we go along. I do believe, Pam got us some of the schedule here.
Yeah, she did.
Can let you know that tomorrow it's the kickoff of the Wisconsin Hockey Hour. Go join Coach Granado mm-hmm. For your Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Yep.
Going to be a good show.
Hope you caught the game on Sunday. Mm-hmm. It was pretty good. I know it's only exhibition, but it was good. Good start to the season.
7:05 start for that. On Thursday, Wisconsin Badger head football coach, I believe it'd be Coach Jim Leonard will be doing this show.
I think so. Yeah, we'll find out, I guess.
I'm not really sure how that works, like if he just takes over or if he's, you know, they're gonna let him ease into it and like he'll do it the next week or he doesn't
no idea.
Do it at all.
I guess we'll find out.
All the more reason, like that show got just a lot more, it was already interesting, uh-huh. a lot more interesting now.
Yes.
Definitely want to check that out this Thursday at 6:05. And on our sister station WIRI, Nacoosa hosting Shiocton this Friday, 6:50, our pregame will start. Randy Paul on the call, y'all. Going to be a good one.
Mm-hmm.
On Saturday here at WFHR, Wisconsin Badger football at Northwestern. Our coverage of that game will start at 12:30.
Mm-hmm.
And then this Saturday, back on our sister station, WIRI, all season long, every home game you're going to be able to catch all season, the new home for the River Kings, Wisconsin Country 105.5. It kicked off this weekend victoriously.
Victoriously.
As your River Kings beat the Minnesota Moose 3-2.
That's right.
Got to hear from some of the players over the weekend and coach telling me that that crowd, that he thought he understood what he was going to come walking into here and everything. Then he saw this. Then he got a feel for that crowd in real time. And boy, you guys gave our River Kings a great crowd this weekend.
Good
big
job.
Shout out to everybody that attended the game, that listened to the game on our sister station.
Keep it up.
Want to say a big thank you to Mark, doing a great job calling with the mm-hmm. play-by-play. Nice job, Mark. And, of course, one of our favorite people around here, Don Cheeseborough, who does such great work behind the scenes for us. All these games that you hear, Don, usually the one running the board, producing these. And I do mean producing.
Yes, he does. Yep.
That's what it takes to be able to do that job. Well done, Don. Nice work.
Yes, very good. And I have to say, when I was at the Pumpkin Fest yesterday, yes, bunch of River Kings players were there, all decked out in their jerseys, and it was good to see him walking around. Good to see him getting involved in the community as well.
I
love how much involved they've gotten so far here in town and in other events around here. It's always fun to see.
This is all well and good. Everything we have just said. This is a competitive team.
Mm-hmm.
This is a team that is going to compete for a USPHL championship.
Yep.
I have no doubt in my mind of that. Every year it's going to be a little different with new players and mm-hmm. these, very similar to our rafters and that. But don't get it twisted. That does not mean that you're going to have because you have a new coaching staff, a new coach, a new GM and those things, mm-hmm. that there's going to be some huge, like, changeover. The changeover has already happened.
Yes.
That happened behind the scenes during the offseason. They got that in place.
Yep.
It's go time.
Yep.
When Steph and I had the chance to go down there the other weekend for their media day, we like right away, you see, okay, it's business. Like, mm-hmm. they're having fun. There's a great vibe in there and everything, and especially with a new coach and a new team like yeah. that. You're going to have that some – you have a chance of having that, but sometimes, especially in hockey, you get a coach that just wants to be the drill sergeant and stuff, and there's no laughter. There's no fun, nothing, none like that. I saw it all the time as a kid with guys my dad played for.
Mm-hmm.
Coach Peckham's got to have a balance there. He's got a nice balance where these kids are definitely listening to him. What, coach? Yes, coach. No matter where they are. At the same time, a lot of good vibes, a lot of good smiles out there. Understanding that while we all want to win, the growth and development of these young gentlemen, these young people that are in our community, that's kind of arguably the more important part.
I would say.
And he gets that.
Yep. And because, I mean, these are young guys. I mean, yeah. these are extremely young kids. I mean, we see it with the Rafters, too. It's the same thing. And this is big. I mean, they're playing all the time, and they're getting some, you know, ice under their skates. And, you know, this is where they're trying to, you know, make their mark to maybe go on in the sport. So it's fun to see. And again, glad to hear there were so many people there and how energetic the crowd was on Saturday. So River Kings started 2-0. They're yeah. doing a great start. So.
Yeah, nice start to the season mm-hmm. by the Kings. Again, you can catch every home game on our sister station, Wisc Country 105.5, all season long.
Yep.
It's so good to say that. It feels so darn good
been
to say
waiting
that.
Waiting so long.
Mm-hmm. And get your tickets. Let's show them what home ice advantage is. Fill up the rink. Let's mm-hmm. get as many people there as we can. You can get your tickets at riverkingshockey.com, mm-hmm. riverkingshockey.com. Or how'd you like to win a pair?
That'd be awesome.
I'd like to win two tickets, huh?
Yeah.
Huh? Man, what do you think? Well, a big thank you to Steph, who dropped mm-hmm. off some tickets for us to get out into your hands out there.
Mm-hmm.
So since the River Kings have two wins already this season, let's go with caller number two. Call up 424-2600 and win yourself two tickets to see your River Kings. Any home game.
Any home game you want. Yep.
All season long. If you can't make it this weekend, you can hang on to those tickets and use them at another time. But we want to help the River Kings keep building hockey up and down the river.
Yep.
Again, go to riverkingshockey.com. We'll take a quick commercial break. We'll talk to a winner, and we'll come back and have some more fun here on Playmakers at WFHR. Welcome back to Playmakers here on WFHR. Getting your words out is our friends at Quality Plus Printing, who sponsored this show. Thanks to them, and a good morning to all of our friends at Quality Plus Printing. Be sure to be listening this Wednesday during the morning show. We'll be joined by Phil Hartley with our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday from Quality Plus.
Yes, indeed.
Appreciate that.
Yeah.
Phone lines are wide open. We got 10 more minutes of show, everybody. Fill it up with your calls.
424-2600.
Join the conversation. We want to talk to you. Want to hear from you. Call up, and we'll talk whatever you want to talk about. I know that once the NFL season kicks off, it's all that on a lot of sports friends' yeah. minds and stuff. And I think that there's plenty to dive into in the NFL season and mm-hmm. talk about. But I can't help myself. I have Seth in with me today. I know how you are about baseball, how yep. you feel about baseball. And let's be honest, we got plenty of time to talk football. If that's what you guys want to talk about, you go ahead and
go
call
right
up
ahead. Yeah.
And we'll talk about that. But for right now, especially with the kind of opening the caller gave us earlier talking mm-hmm. Brewers, mm-hmm. let's talk a little MLB as we're getting into the last week of the season, I believe, and
yep.
getting ready for this playoff run. I want to talk about the teams going on right now, Seth, mm-hmm. but I do want to say something I don't do very often. I was really wrong about this. I was one of those guys that I liked the way baseball was, where the only way you moved on was if you won your pennant. You got to win the pennant.
Gotcha.
You're not getting in the – there's nothing – you could have the greatest team in the world, but if you don't win the pennant, you're not going into the playoffs.
Okay, like, yeah.
I used to think that was pretty cool as a kid. When they started involving the wild cards and stuff, I started like, I don't know, mm-hmm. I don't know. And then it got to be where it is now, where like almost everybody except the Marlins make the playoffs. Like it feels that way, you know? Like everybody gets a trophy day almost. Like everybody gets a chance.
Right.
But that's not the case.
Not really.
But I do like the idea. I was looking at it very tunnel vision, very much as just a fan of one team.
Mm-hmm.
When my team's not really in the running or something like that, you have a little bit of an idea of this and stuff, mm-hmm. a little better. And when I take a step back and I just look at it as a baseball fan, just a fan of the sport, it's almost hard not to enjoy what they have done because now so many more teams have a care. You just heard our caller earlier talking about the Brewers and how passionate he is about that and how much his Brewers, and he believes they still have a chance.
Yep.
Now, is Vegas odds? Do they have the Brewers as one of the teams that could win it all or anything like that? Who knows?
Yeah, right.
But for him and his fan base, they got a dog. They have a chance. They
yes,
have.
They do.
They have. They're in the run. And baseball is such a regional sport. So if it means that more and more regional fan bases feel like they have a chance to make a run here and everything, I don't. I kind of wish I had seen that early on. I think that I was wrong about this. I think that there's that's kind of cool. I think that's fun for the sport.
If you're looking at it as being good for baseball, then yes, because it absolutely is good for the entire game of baseball. And I actually like it better now than the way they had it before, because now, yeah, if you sneak in as a wild card, you have an uphill road to climb in order to get anywhere. So it makes it a little more challenging. It makes winning the division better.
Well said. Let's take a call. Good morning. You're on the show.
Well, good morning, fellas.
Hey.
Morning.
What's on your mind?
Packers win, Vikings win. Good day. I just want, you're talking baseball a little bit, and for everybody that is kind of on the fence with the Brewers, just like the Brewers are on the fence about everything, don't forget that the Raptors' own Bryson Stott plays for the Philadelphia Phillies.
That's right.
If the Phillies get in, we got a reason to root for Bryson Stott and the Phillies if the Brewers.
Silver lining. Love it.
It's a great
idea.
Nice
job, man. Yeah. Nice job. Nice work there. Yeah, silver lining, no matter what happens. You got something to root for there. I like that. Nicely done.
All right. Well, I guess that's all I got for today. You guys have a good afternoon.
Looking forward to talking again soon, bud. Take care. Have a good one. Always good to hear from you. 424-2600, if you want to call up. Well played. Nice.
Yeah,
that
was
like
good.
That
was a reason to check it out, right? Yeah.
I got to say, the other thing that I'm liking about this is, I think that you look at the Dodgers and it's pretty, those are world beaters. How are they not going to be in the World Series, let alone win the whole thing? The more teams, more chances of anything can happen kind of thing. So I think that that's fun, too. Whereas traditionally, if it was the old school way of doing this, where it's just the division winners, then I would be like, no, put all your money on black. You know, put all your money on the Dodgers and that kind of thing.
Right, right.
With this, all bets are off.
All bets are completely off. You do not know. Well, it's been said many times, you know, baseball is full of cliches. And one of them is anything can happen in one game. Anything can happen. Now, a series is supposed to be that the better team will win because they have more than one chance to do that. But you're only as good as your starting pitcher. Yeah. I mean, when you get into like a one-game situation of that, managers say it all the time. I'm as confident as my starting pitcher tomorrow. It's basically what it is. So it's good for baseball because it's exciting. I think putting that on top of what they're going to be doing next year with the rule changes, it'll be really really interesting to see the viewing patterns, to see how people go to the game now. Is it going to be different? When people see that the games are actually going to be shorter, they're not going to be 3 hours long. Hopefully they'll be shorter, 2.5 or whatever. I don't know. I mean, the sky's the limit. If it's more exciting on the bases, if more people are stealing bases, are more people going to check? Oh, look at that. We haven't seen that in 30 years, the guys running the bases like this. Yeah.
If you're telling me I could see a new Vince Coleman, Ricky Henderson, you're going to have – that's where you start getting a lot of the old school people that you lost in baseball coming back to baseball.
I think so.
I'm tired of – the home run is not as entertaining to me, and not entertaining enough to get me to come and watch because I know I'm going to see more strikeouts than home runs, no matter what.
Yes,
just by the law of averages, and that doesn't interest a lot of your old school baseball fans or even the modern baseball fans.
Yeah,
we want to see some action. We want to see things going on the base pads, maybe more than anywhere else.
Yep,
and this is going to make that happen.
Yep.
Now with the playoffs, looking at this, like the teams that are probably going to make it and all that, everybody, what the Dodgers are saying about those things is very interesting. If the New York Mets are healthy, that to me is the most interesting team outside of the Brewers and my own White Sox, which who knows? I can't even talk about them. That is like the Brewers, they're the most interesting team, certainly to me, because of the local tie-in and just that I think that they're one of those teams you can't count out. But the Mets, with that rotation of Scherzer and DeGrom in a small series, especially where they can go multiple times, if they can stay healthy,
3 days rest,
if they can stay healthy,
they can go on a run. Yeah, I absolutely agree with you.
It's almost the first time since we were kids that we've been able to say that the Mets have a chance to make a bit of a playoff run. Yes. Going back to Gooden and the Strawberry right, and everything. Right. Like a,
the dynasty of the 80s. I mean, they had that blip in 2015 when they got to the series. And they had another great pitching rotation that year.
Yeah.
But they came up a little short. And I know Mets fans have I almost feel bad. I shouldn't, but I almost feel bad for Mets fans because of just for being in New York, being the step child of New York City.
Yes.
Although, I mean, if you're any self-respecting New Yorker, you cheer for the Mets. I mean, come on, people. Right on. You know what you know. But I kid Yankee fans.
The Brewers are 8 games back of the Cardinals, so you're not going to be able to make that up, of course, but they are in the hunt for the wild card. And
slim chance, but they still got it.
Still have that chance. And, just that having that slim chance, regardless of stats or anything like that, makes the last week of the season that could be just boring and more and more interesting, more exciting. That gets more fan bases involved, more people in the stands. It should be fun.
I know we have a couple of minutes, James, and I can't help but you did mention the White Sox, so now I do have to say that it is Tony La Russa will be retiring. Because of health reasons at the end of this. In fact, he's gone now. He's not because of some health concerns. Miguel Cairo took over for the last month of the season. So he will be gone. It'll be really interesting to see who they end up hiring as the new manager of the White Sox.
Glad you brought that up, Seth, because over the weekend I tossed my resume to GM Han and let him know that, hey, I complain. I bark a lot about the White Sox. Might as well try to actually get in there. Like, hey, you think you can do so good? Get in there and do it. Get in there and do it, man.
You just want to hang out with the players.
I'm going to be a horrible manager. I'm going to be horrible at it. I'm going to be like a fanboy the whole time.
The whole time.
Not just focused on the task.
Tim Anderson, man. Yeah, I'm taking with Tim Anderson.
Not only that, I'm like hiring guys that have retired like 20 years ago. Every 90s baseball player I grew up loving. Like that's
Ricky.
All,
yep. Ricky would answer the call.
I'm hiring. Oh, yeah, Ricky would definitely
play. He's playing. He would play.
He's out there playing somewhere right now. Yeah. Some of these guys, especially like the Latin guys in other countries, they're playing in their 50s, 60s and stuff.
Yeah. I love it.
I think it'd be a horrible coach, a horrible GM, a horrible manager. But I'm very excited to see what happens with that.
Yes.
I'm not trying to make light of this or anything like that. I've been very honest with the audience. I've never been a Tony La Russa guy. I've never been a fan of his.
No.
I think he's been overrated his whole career. But I do
that's
wish
baseball
him well.
Stuff. Exactly.
That is baseball stuff. As a human being, I don't want any ill will to him. I wish him well and a happy retirement.
I hope he enjoys it.
Thank you so much for joining us, Seth. Really fun conversation.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun today.
Thank you to all of you. A lot of calls today. Thanks so much for all those.
Yeah, keep it up.